Well, good morning. Man, it is so good to see everyone. Our North Campus, we love having you. Our South Campus is honored to be with you. And we have people who are online, not just in our region, but we have people who are online throughout our nation and around the world. In fact, just this past week, our online pastor received this message from one of our people who participate regular online campus, from Catherine. Listen to what she wrote. I live in the very northeast corner of North Dakota. So she is 2 miles from Canada and about a mile from Minnesota. We looked it up. It makes some of our West Texas towns look big. You know what I'm saying? I moved to North Dakota, she said, about 25 years ago from the Seattle, Washington area. And I was raised in a house where I was required to attend church, but my parents only attended Christmas and Easter. Most of my adult life, my church attendance has been very sporadic. 2 years ago, I was working 2 jobs, making a comfortable living, and then March 2020 hit. Anybody remember March 2020? Yeah, we don't even want to chuckle about that. It's too soon, David. Okay. I was laid off 1 job and had my hours severely cut at another. I tried to remain very optimistic. It was difficult. And then June 2020, the Lord started working in my life. The job I had been laid off of had a manager's position opened up, and they offered it to me. And in this new job, I had a lot of wonderful Christian ladies who surrounded me. We started sharing Jesus with each other to help keep a positive attitude at crazy times. Then in July, the next month, a cousin that I haven't talked to in 20 years contacted me through Facebook and told me he kept having this nagging feeling. I just want you to remember that phrase, okay? We're going to come back to it. I have this nagging feeling to call me and let me know that he loves me. Now, stop right there. How awkward is it to call a cousin you haven't talked to in 20 years and say, hey, you just felt like I was supposed to call and tell you I love you? That sounds odd, right? But then the following Sunday, he asked if via Facebook I would like to attend church with him and his wife. That church was Beltway. My cousin lives near Seattle. So we had people in church together from Seattle, Podunk, North Dakota, all at Beltway Park. So we listened to church together, and I've been listening ever since. And then she goes on and explains a lot of details about what God's been doing in her life. Anyway, and then she ends this way, because this is to you, to all of us who are around the world. She said, thank you for reaching out to me. I love my Beltway family. Come on, that is great. And Catherine, I'm just going to look right at you. I want you to know, and everybody in our online family, we love you as well. And we are so blessed to be a part of what Abba is doing in your life, helping you take this next steps with him, a life that leads to abundance. But for all of us, I need you to listen to me. Listen carefully. The temptation right now, whether we're online, one of our physical campuses, the temptation is to hear a story like this and get all the feels. So, ooh, that's sweet. And then we move on with our lives. But I am confident the Father wants to do more through this story than give us a warm fuzzy. See, he wants to encourage us to action, to actually take a next step into our destiny, a destiny that is far greater than I think that we know. And he wants to use this story to encourage and empower us to do that. Let me explain it to you. In Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, the first parable Jesus told, we refer to most often as the parable of the sower. Jesus used parables all the time. We have about 37 of them recorded in Scripture. Scholars actually debate the exact number because there's a couple stories that might be real, etc. But we know that Jesus used these parables to make a point. But this parable, the parable of the sower, really is key because I think it helps unlock everything God, Jesus wants us to know about he taught. Jesus was teaching, Mark 4 says, many things in parables, and in this teaching, he said to them, listen, say listen. It's interesting that he starts only this parable this way. Behold, a sower went out to sow. A farmer went out to put seed, and he sowed some, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell along the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain and had no harvest. And other seed fell into good soil, say good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 times. 60 times, even 100 times. And then Jesus said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." See, Jesus, like all first century rabbis, used parables to teach, stories like this one to unpack truth. Now, we, most of us, grew up in the Western part of the world. And in the Western part of the world, as opposed to the East, we value logic, we value rationale. These ideas of these vague spiritual stories bother us. I mean, some of us read the parables of Jesus and we go, "Dude, why don't you just say what you need to say? Make it plain, make it clear, make it easy. Why these obscure, vague stories?" But the reason is simple. Through the obscure, vague story, Jesus is showing us the condition of our heart. See, each parable is kind of like a test. When it creates a question mark, when it creates a curiosity, will I press in to that curiosity? Will I press into that question? Because Jesus has said the only people that will really embrace his truth are those that have a spiritual amount of hunger. And the parable shows us, do I really have an amount of hunger? That's why he starts the parable, "Listen." It's why he finishes, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." It's as if Jesus is saying, if you really want to hear spiritual truth, if you really hunger, you're gonna get this. But if you really don't wanna hear, and it's like he's saying, I know some of you know this reality, if you're not hungry, then we're both wasting our time here. And I'm telling you, if we have ears to hear this morning, wherever we might be engaging, if we have ears to hear, Jesus is telling us something that is absolutely staggering. Very opposite of what we're hearing in our culture today. Jesus is telling us that the destiny of our lives is not predetermined. I mean, come on, if we're honest, what we hear commonly in our culture is that basically our life is set. We have various forms of determinism. You have genetic determinism that says you were born a certain way. If you were born a certain way with certain inklings in life, with certain things that you're bent towards in life, then what typically happens is I'm gonna go that direction. Basically, genetic determinism says your grandparents did it to you. That's why you have such a temper. It's why you have such a struggle with this or that. It's in your DNA. It's just the way you're born. It's who you are. Psychic determinism says your parents did it to you. It was the way you were raised. It was your upbringing. It was your toilet training. It was something in life that determined things. It essentially determines the person you are forever. Environmental determinism says it's your boss that's doing it to you, or your spouse, or your neighbors, or the government, or whoever is making you the way you are. In essence, because of things like my genetics, because of my upbringing, because of the current life situations, who I am and the course of my life is pretty much a determined deal. Now, please don't swing the pendulum. I'm not saying your genetics don't matter. I'm not saying your past doesn't matter. I'm in no way saying your current environment doesn't have influence on your life. But hear me, they do not get the final word. Jesus gets the final word in our destiny, and we get to join with him in that. Jesus is saying, will we dare to hear it? That we get to choose what kind of soil we are going to be. Listen, you can be rocky soil. No roots, difficulty comes, it just goes away. You can be hard soil. Never let anything penetrate your life. You can be soil that has weeds in it. Have some roots, have some semblance of life, but when the anxieties of life come, the riches, the desire for riches and things like that happen, we quickly get choked out. Or, Jesus says, we can be what? Good soil. And Jesus explained the parable to his closest followers because they pressed in. They asked, "Hey, Jesus, what does it mean?" And he said, the seed that fell on good soil, say good soil, represents those who hear and accept God's word, and they produce a harvest. Now, come on, does that word not appeal to you? There's something inside of us that says, I want my life to have a harvest. I want it to matter. We're celebrating Mother's Day. Every mom wants a harvest from what she invests in her kids. Ask any mom why she does all the things she does, and she's looking down the road when her kids are 30 and when they're 40 and when they're 70, and she has desires of the way that they are going to be able to exist on planet Earth. She desires a harvest in life, and not just any kind of harvest. Jesus says those who accept God's words will produce a harvest 30, 60, even 100 times as much has been planted. Listen, Jesus is saying, just like you can throw one kernel of wheat into the ground. Everybody in that first century would have heard wheat. Remember, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Bread was the essence of how they survived. Wheat was the primary crop. You throw a kernel of wheat into the ground, as Jesus said, it must die. And then it produces a plant, and it comes up in a stalk, and it has a head on it. And that head won't have just one more seed. It might have 30 seeds. It might have 60 seeds. It might even have 100 seeds in life. And he's saying our life can be just like that. See, our destiny in Jesus is abundant harvest if we choose to be good soil. Now, unlike everyone who listens to Jesus, I know most of us are not agricultural. Some of you have a garden, and you're kind of in and out on the gardening thing, but you have that. But unlike most in that day would have been farmers. We don't think in terms of planting and watering and waiting and harvest and such, but we do as Americans understand the concept of investment. We all, at some level, understand the idea of ROI, the return on investment. You buy something. Like, let's say you buy a stock. You buy some of the digital currency that is out right now. Everybody's thinking, ha-ha, maybe. And you buy it for a dollar. And then you sell it for $101. Your return is, now don't be getting out your phone right now and pretending you can't do that math. Come on. Your return is $100, 100 times what I originally made. It's 100-fold. If I may, 100 is my harvest. See, Jesus is saying in this parable, if you will listen, if you have ears to hear, I want to bring a harvest in your life. He wants to do things in us, but he also wants to bring a harvest through our life. See, our destiny in Jesus. Should we choose to be good soil? Is a destiny of abundant harvest. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Anybody want less judgment in their life? Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Anybody want less condemnation in their life? Forgive and you will be forgiven. Who wants a little bit more forgiveness in their life, right? Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. That is a definition of harvest. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, mercy, and self-control. Come on, we all want more joy and peace. We all want more love and self-control in our life. See, this is a harvest in us. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will produce praise and thanksgiving to God. I know it doesn't sound spiritual to say this in church, but every one of us wants to be rich. Probably not just financially, but in all the resources of life so we can be a blessing to others. This is a description of harvest. Listen, our destiny in Jesus, should we choose to live as good soil, is that of abundant harvest. See, our Abba, our Father, is a God of harvest. Next Sunday, really, it's Sunday evening and Monday, a week from now, is actually another holiday. Some of you are in panic mode right now because some of you forgot it was Mother's Day. And you're like hoping right now, you were actually hoping we were giving out big gifts here and that was gonna be your Mother's Day present. And we didn't let you off the hook like that. You're gonna have to go online, sign up, and just hope and pray that she gets something. Or you can join every other yahoo who forgot and go to the store right after church, right? And you're saying, I got another holiday next week. Yeah, but it's not a holiday we talk about. It's not one we see very much. It's called the holiday of Shavuot. See, on the biblical holiday of Shavuot, men and women of the ancient world would come to the temple. It's a Jewish holiday. And they would bring the first fruits of their harvest. The word Shavuot actually means weeks. 7 weeks after Passover, on the 50th day, Jewish men and women would bring the first fruit of their harvest, of their grain, and they would offer it as a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the God who has brought harvest in their life. And in this act, by giving the first fruits, they are saying that the God of the harvest not only gave me harvest in the past, but he's going to continue to give me harvest in the days to come. But there's a parallel for our lives that has far more significance than just grain. Listen, Jesus was crucified on Passover. And the scripture says that for 40 days he remained on planet Earth talking to his disciples. And on the 40th day, he ascended into heaven. And he told those disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive power. We're going to talk about power next week for the harvest. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the power. You know how long the disciples waited? 10 days. Another big math equation here, last one. 40 plus 10 equals 50. You see, what we call Pentecost, this day that we talk about the church being formed, the word Pentecost, which actually is a Greek word for 50, was actually the day of Shavuot. It was the day of the harvest. So when those early followers of Jesus had the Spirit of God fall on them, they go to the temple and they proclaim Jesus is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. They're actually going to men and women who are there to celebrate the harvest. They're there to give thanks to the God of the harvest, but they themselves are going to become the harvest. Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. Is that not the ultimate harvest? Listen to me. Our destiny, if we choose to be good soil, is abundant harvest. There are things that God wants to do in us. Peace and joy that overflow. Love and goodness that are the foundation of our existence. The harvest is our time and finances actually being made rich beyond what we can think, so we can just be generous in so many ways. The harvest is less judgment. It's less condemnation. It's more forgiveness. It's pressed down, shaken, and running over. See, God wants to bring an abundant harvest in us and in our lives, but this is where we tend to stop. But he also wants to bring an abundant harvest through us. God is so gracious, so powerful, that he wants to take us, as weak as we are, as immature as we are, lacking in so many ways, and he wants to do something in our lives that would enable the people who are in our lives to have hope, to help them find their way back to him, if I may, so that when they pass from this life, they're not going to die, but they're going to live and find the life that is truly life. Let that sink in for a minute. What could be more significant in our lives? That I existed, and the way I lived, God took and magnified it, and someone, or radical someones, not just have a blessing, but they have hope. And they have confidence that when they die, they don't face judgment alone, but they face judgment with Jesus. And they have an eternity in heaven. What could be more powerful than that? Ask any mom in our rooms. And ask them, what do you want most for your kids? And they'll say a lot of things, but eventually they're going to get to one answer that really supersedes them all. I want my kids to love Jesus. I want my kids to know Jesus. I want them to have the abundant life for the days to come. And when they die, and every mother says, I don't want to bury my own kids, but if I have to bury my own kids, I want to know they are right with God through Jesus Christ and that they have the hope of heaven. That's the harvest that they want. God wants to take that heart and expand it in all of us. I mean, what greater significance could our lives have than knowing that a person, knowing that people have hope and are enjoying the abundant life with Jesus in this world because of my life? But it goes beyond that. What greater meaning could my life have than knowing that when someone dies, that they are enjoying the rewards of heaven in part because I was in their life? Is that not why we get all the feels when we hear Catherine's story? I mean, isn't that the sweet thing that there was darkness and there was difficulty in her life? Now, I don't know her story with Jesus. I've never met Catherine. I'm kind of hoping after this, I get a contact from Catherine. And I'll hear more of her story. But here's what's sweet. Here's what overwhelms our heart. Is that during a dark and heavy season that no one else really knew about, God took a cousin. And that cousin had a nagging feeling. See, I'm going to rephrase that because I think it was the push of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know that we should say the Holy Spirit nags us, But that may be what it feels like, because if we are disobedient, he just kind of lays in there until we're finally obedient. So I'm guessing that's what he said, is he'd had that feeling for a while, maybe back in June or May. But finally he said yes to that. He probably just said, hey, you probably don't even remember who I am. My parents are so-and-so. They're related to your parents in this way. It makes us cousin. And I just had this weird feeling I'm supposed to call and tell you I love you. And I'm sure he thought she was going to think that he was like a stalker or somebody that was a little crazy or something like that, something weird or something like that. But God took that little act and brought a harvest of life, brought a harvest of joy, brought a harvest of hope. And her cousin doesn't get credit for it, because it was the work of God. He just got to be a part of it. God took a little act of obedience and he magnified it into a harvest, 30, 60, and even 100-fold. That's what Paul, talking to the church in Corinth, said about their life of hope. He said, I planted the seed in you. Apollos came along and watered it, but God made it grow. One time I had something really interesting happen. I had a farmer call me and said, man, I really need a good harvest this year. Would you come pray for my land? But why not? I'll come pray with you. So I went out to his land, saw his fields, all that kind of stuff. And just kind of in passing before I prayed, I said, hey, what kind of crop are we talking about here? What am I praying for? I mean, like, what seed did you put into the ground? And he replied, seeds. And putting seeds in the ground, that's why you're here praying. And right now, you know I'm not telling you a true story. It's my attempt at a parable, okay? You're probably going to say, it's a bad one. Okay, but you're going to remember it, right? Because you know right now this reality. No one who is a farmer would ever pray for a harvest if you put no seed in the ground. Do not be deceived, the scripture says. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what he sows. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, what is the proper time? When the God of the harvest says it's time. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So here's my question. What if we spent our lives not being concerned about the harvest? What if I may, during this season of Shavuot, we offer our sacrifice to God, our lives to God, our prayers to God, our praise to God. And we just say, you are the God of the harvest. You've brought things in the past. You're going to do so in the future. My job, hear me, is just to sow seeds. What if we focus on sowing seeds? Because you see, what happened was, when I started talking about helping people find their way back to God, immediately something came in all of our brains. We thought that somehow I have to have this masterful presentation of the gospel. I have to lay it out in the clearest and most persuasive way possible. When they ask a question, I have to have the ability to answer every question with the depth of a seasoned theologian. And then, after I answer all their questions with my persuasiveness, they're going to say, I want to know Jesus, and I'm going to pray a prayer with them. And then I have a harvest. And all of you right now saying, I can't do that. And I feel overwhelmed by it. Rightly so, by the way. And because we feel overwhelmed with the thought of what I have to do to bring a harvest, I do nothing. I sow no seeds in the area which might be the most significant part of what God wants to do in my life. And we're missing out on part of our harvest. We're missing out on part of the joy God wants to give to our lives. And I get to be a part of something he's doing. So what if we don't focus on the harvest? What if we just focus our lives on sowing some seeds and we leave the harvest to the God of the harvest? See, hear me. The easiest way to sow some seeds in people's lives is live a life where we daily seek to bless. It is the simplest thing in the world. But BLESS for us is an acronym. It is this easy way to remember that we begin with prayer. We just begin every day in prayer to the places we're going. Acts says, from one man, God made every nation of men. So from one person, God made every nation of humans, that they should inhabit the entire earth. Now notice this phrase. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Some of you wonder why you're living in Abilene. God put you here. Don't blame your job. Don't blame the Air Force. Don't blame school. Don't blame any of that. God put you here. And those of you who struggle with Abilene, we grow on you. And here's what I've noticed. Everybody wants to come back. Everybody wants, especially when you have kids, all of a sudden, I want to raise my kids here. Because there's something God is doing here. He determined this. Not only did he determine where you should live, I'm going to go so far as to tell you he put you in your job. He put you in your neighborhood. He put you at the place where you're supposed to be working out. He put you on your kids' little league teams. Some of you are going to get that other here in a minute. Anyway, all these places, God did this. See, God has you are where you are for a reason. You're not living where you're living or in your job or neighborhood or whatever on accident. There's no accident. You say, what's the reason God has me there? The people. There are people that are in your daily lives that God loves, that God wants to do a work in. He wants to give them hope. And say, David, I don't know that I can do that. Here's what you can do. Pray. Sow the seeds of intercession that they would have the best opportunity to find their way back to God. And then you just listen. You listen. You know what you listen specifically for? You listen for the Holy Spirit to nag you. For just the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He might prompt you to invite them to church or to your group. Maybe you're just listening to something about their life and the struggles of their life, and the Spirit says, pray for them. And you go, here? Like, right now? And he'll go, yeah. He said, I'm not very eloquent. I'm not very good at it. And somehow he doesn't care. Because it's really not about your eloquence. It's not about your ability. It's about your heart. And then God taking something small as a seed and bringing a harvest to it. You could be radical and eat with them. Because it's a great place to listen to their heart. You could drink with them. You know what I'm saying? Share some meals. Share some coffee. Share some other beverages. In moderation. And if you're of age, right? One of the greatest ways people feel loved is to be truly heard. Easiest ways to do that is have some food between you. Have a cup of coffee between you. Or, and I'll just say it, some beer, some wine, something like that, okay? You saying, I can drink beer to the glory of God. You got to decide that. Anyway, I'm not going to go any further there. That's not in my notes. Another way you can do this is to serve. The Spirit, if you listen to him, is going to give you practical ways you can do so. It can be as simple as bring a cup of coffee to your coworker in the morning to show him your love. You're going through that line at Starbucks. And you know, there's this habit now in Starbucks and other places that you buy the meal, you buy the cup for the person behind you. I'm going to get radical. I want people to kind of know it's Jesus. So either leave them a note that it's Jesus, having them do that, or buy a cup of coffee for somebody at work. Take it to them in just a little act of service. Say, I was thinking of you today. Such. And then somewhere along the way, here's what I think you're going to get a chance to do. You're going to get a chance to share your story. And what I mean by share your story is this. This was my life before Jesus. This is where I met Jesus. This is what Jesus has done in my life. And then leave it. It's real simple. You tell him, you leave it, and you see what the God of the harvest does with seeds that are sown. When you sow in intercession, you listen to the Holy Spirit, you listen to them, you're willing to spend time serving and sharing and doing all those things, the God of the harvest will do a tremendous thing. And one day, you're going to look up, and somebody who was in your life, some people who were in your life are going to have hope, they're going to have confidence, they're going to have forgiveness, they're going to have joy, they're going to have their marriage reconciled, they're going to have their bodies healed, they're going to see the power of God in their life. And inside, you are going to have a feeling you have never had before, because I got to be a part of that. The eternal destiny of a human was changed in part because I exist. Our destiny in Jesus, if we choose to be good soil, is an abundant harvest. Think about it. Now, we're going to talk about other things he wants to harvest in us, okay? Because really, for us to have the harvest through us, there's got to be a consistency of the stuff in us. I mean, if we're going to talk to people about Jesus, we better have a little bit more love and peace and joy and self-control or things like that, or they're going to look at us and go, I don't want any of that. Doesn't have to be perfect, but it's got to be getting there. So it's a both and, but I promise you it's there. Your next 30 years do not have to look like this year. They don't have to look like your past 30 years. There's a work that God wants to do in our lives to bring an abundant harvest. What would happen if we started to believe this? Think about it. What would happen if all of us, North Campus, South Campus, online, all around the world, what if we just took out tomorrow and said, hey, I'm going to bless. I'm going to live in my world as if I am here to bless. So I'm going to think of the people who need to find their way back to God. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be listening to the promptings of the Spirit. I'm going to be looking for opportunities to share a little extra time. And I'm not talking about hours. It could be 10 minutes over coffee at your break. I'm just looking for all these things. If we all did that, what might God do in our community? What would he do in our region? If we all just took it upon ourselves to say, I'm going to be good soil. God, that scares me to death, but I'm going to be good soil. I want you to use my life. I want to harvest. Yeah, I want to be made rich in every way so that I can be generous. I want less judgment. I want more peace. I want more joy. But when my days are done, I want there to be a line of people. This is a radical thought. 30 of them, 60 of them, 100 of them, who I got to be a part of them finding hope in Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything more significant. Nothing greater to live for than that. See, if we all did this, the result would be more peace and joy in us. Some of the things we're looking for in Jesus are only going to happen as we join Jesus in what he wants to do through us. He wants to pour out love and hope and freedom through us. And as we live lives for him to work through us, he does something in us. It's just tremendous. Listen. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest. Harvest is what? 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. Let's do this. Both campuses, let's bow our heads, let's pray. People online who are not driving, you bow your heads as well. Let's listen to the Father for a minute. If you do not have the confidence of knowing Jesus Christ, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're here because he wants you to know he wants you. Without a shadow of a doubt, there's a handful of things in life that I'm 100% confident of. And one of those is this: God wants you. And all you got to do is say yes to be his follower. You can do it right now. You say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, but Jesus came and did what I could not do for myself. He paid the price for my sins. I receive what he paid, and I give my life wholly to you. You do that, and you're his. You say yes truly to be his follower. If you can say, yes, I'm his follower, then God used somebody in your life. They probably didn't have the phrase, but they lived to bless. Thank God for those people right now. I've been thinking about the people in my history who made my journey of faith possible. God used them. I've been overwhelmed with gratitude. Some of you, it's parents. Some of you, it's mother. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, I was reminded of your faith that lived in your grandmother and then your mother, and now I am persuaded also lives in you. Some of you had that. I did not. It was other people that influenced my mom, that influenced me, but now my mom has the hope of Jesus Christ. My dad has the hope of Jesus Christ because of what those people did in our lives. I want to be those people. Say thank you for them. The quick question. Honest before God, do you want to be good soil? A harvest in you. Every one of us want the harvest in us. But we have to embrace the other part of harvest through us. And if you with integrity say, God, I want to live as good soil. I want you to do a work in me and a work through me that's far greater than I can imagine. I want to be good soil. I want to hear your word. I want to accept it and obey it. And I want to see you produce a harvest in my life and through my life. If you say that with integrity, you say, God, I want to be good soil. Put your hand up right now, just as a witness to God. Come on, put them up. Say, God, I want to be good soil. Give me grace. Give me courage. Give me power. Trust that you can do it in me. And you can put your hands down. Now just ask God to show you a handful of people in your daily life, your regular weekly life, that you can seek to bless. And you commit right now to begin with prayer tomorrow. And you, as regularly as possible, you begin with prayer and you listen, you see what the Holy Spirit does. Father, we love you. And we are overwhelmed at the hope that we have. And the thought that you would give us the opportunity, the blessing, the significance of you bringing hope to others. Just give us a grace of faith to believe that you would do that in me. So many of us feel like we are so inadequate. And we are. But you are greater than our inadequacy. So take the seeds we sow, oh God. Give us courage to sow those seeds and bring a harvest of hope in the lives of those who are in our world. We love you and give you praise in Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's stand. You guys have been such a blessing today. Again, happy Mother's Day. If you don't know, we have some photo opportunities in both of our foyers. Moms, I give you permission. You drag your whole family. You get that picture taken. Husbands, kids, everyone, you put your smile on and you say yes when she wants to take the pictures today, okay? Tomorrow you can be grumpy all you want to be about the pictures. Today is her day. She gets to take all the pictures she wants. And all the men said, that's what I thought I'd hear. You guys. Hey, we're going to have our prayer partners down here before you go. Some things I feel like we're supposed to pray for. One, I feel like there's going to be a breakthrough in infertility today. And so I want you to come, I want you to say prayer, and I believe God's going to open some wombs today. We had a picture of a person walking out on ice that broke through. You were reaching out and felt like, man, there's nothing to grab onto. Probably an image you've used. God wants to work in you there. The name Tom, you need to have a certain surgery, and you've got a lot of questions about doing it. The phrase, call the children home. We have some parents, specifically moms, who want to believe their children, their prodigal children, will come back to the Lord. We want to pray with you on that. Someone's physical birthday is today. Happy birthday. God is inviting you for rebirth, that your physical birthday can be your spiritual birthday. Maybe that's your confirmation. You're supposed to say yes to him. There is a woman, female girl, desires to cry but unable to cry. And God wants to unlock your emotions. Someone has had the thought that God is punishing me, and he wants to do a shift. Here's the deal. God will punish at the end. Right now, Jesus has satisfied the anger of God. So whatever's going on in your life is just part of this fallen world. We want to see that God's heart is good in the midst of all this stuff. So if you have that needs, anything else, I invite you to come and receive prayer. Let's put our hands out in front of us. We receive blessing from God. Why? So that we can live a life that blesses. So God, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Turn your countenance towards us and give us your peace, I ask. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, Prince of Peace. And all God's people said, amen. God's blessings on you guys. We'll see you back here next week.